snaps today. We got some snaps.
There it is again, bro. That's the space toast in your ear hole, people. Nick and Josh coming at you one more time. Episode 46 to Dottis. Taking a dump and thinking about shit.
What episode is this?
46.
Is it 46 already?
46, baby. What up?
We got a goal of 50.
Yeah. Cheers to G-Schwab.
Oh, we might get there.
We're drinking on some Dripping Springs, the artisanal lemon.
Is that what it actually says on here?
It does say artisanal.
Yeah. It does. Okay. So it's the fancy one. All right. Welcome to Todatus. You already said it. Taking a dump, thinking about shit. It's the podcast where we just write down our notes from the bathroom.
We save the world.
Oh, yeah. We also save the world. We save the world.
Whilst pooping.
Man, we had a good run. We took a big break. Got back to it. Took a little bit of a break. We're back in it again. We are a roller coaster of inconsistency, sir.
So we're like the Astros?
Oh! Thank you. Great segue. The Astros. The Astros
right now are painful to watch. Suck ass.
Are you paying attention? Are you into every game? I don't watch them hardly at all.
So I did not, and so I watched a game yesterday. I watched the last couple of the last say five games. By the way, pause for a second. I'm hearing a little. You hear? So in the last, I'd say last four games, I have watched two of them complete. One of them. At least halfway, and then today I watched for about 10 pitches.
So your level of interest is waning. Is that
well? It's not the level of interest. What it is, and just simply put, it's not the level of interest. It is the it's just painful. Like if I want to see my team that I've enjoyed watching for years, really, really, really not play well, that's not fun. So. Last night, actually, when the Astros were down 10-1, come back to lose 10-3, we had turned on
almost had
hockey, and the hockey game last night, we had Dallas and Colorado going.
You find hockey more interesting than the Astros right now? Well, it's playoff hockey.
It's playoff hockey. First of all, it's playoff hockey, and we're in round two. And so Dallas, the fucking faggot-ass Stars, beat Vegas Golden Knights, so there's not going to be – the defending champs are out. That's what happened. So then they go to play the Colorado Avalanche. Game one last night, and they scored three in the first period.
Who's they?
Dallas. Okay. It's 3-0 after one. Larson's losing his shit. But I told him, stay calm. We got this. And we, because, I'm a big, Colorado fan now.
Is that your go-to? Like, you stay in it in the playoffs? You just pick a new team? Or, like, is it Larson's team?
It's because the Avalanche is Larson's team.
Got it. So you're, like, riding with Larson.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Same with basketball, but his Nuggets are in bad shape. They're in trouble. Anyways, they're down 3-0. The second period, they come out, they score two. We go to the third period. It's 3-2. Dallas is winning. Colorado ties it up, sends it to overtime. So last night, by the way, both the playoff hockey games went to overtime. In fact, the Carolina game went to double overtime.
How did we get so fast from the Astros to hockey, by the way?
Because the Astros were boring as fuck.
We can talk about it.
They've been playing like shit. I mean, what do you want to talk about? They lost tonight. They lost tonight 9-3. They lost yesterday 10-3.
I was going to ask you, what do you think the culprit is?
Here's
or do you want to finish hockey?
I want to say, so we go
we're
back.
All over the place.
Fine. Listen, with the Astros, here's what's real fun and real stupid. The stats last night, that there are certain things I heard and became aware of about a week or so ago, and tell you why they're losing. The Astros lead the league, or at least did a couple days ago. They led the majors in hits. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of that when I first heard that, and I was like, bullshit. I went and checked. Sure shit, they led the league. They're probably still right up there. Now, they also are second in the league, leaving men on base. The only team that actually leaves more men on base than they do are the New York Yankees, except not against us. The Yankees are now 6-0 against the Astros, and the first four were all one-run games. The last two games in the Bronx, last night was 10-3. Tonight was 9-3. Here's the other interesting parallel between the two games.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, first inning, Tucker hit a home run. Tonight, first inning, Tucker hit a home run.
Yep.
Astros get up early, and then we blink, and it's 5-1 again. And, yeah, then, I don't know, it's shit show after shit show.
Have you you're not on Astros Twitter, but have you heard this concept? I think it comes from Astros Twitter that it's called back of the baseball card. Have you heard this phrase yet? So there's this joke.
I'm aware of what it is, but I don't know what this means specifically here, but I know what's on the back of a baseball card.
Well, yeah, it's the stats on the back of a baseball card. Sure. So there's this, like, this trope in Astros Twitter, and it's like, but look at the back of the baseball card. So it's like the Astros are so, like, numbers-driven that it's not about wins and losses. It's about, you know,
just the analytics. Yeah, let's look at
the deep stats. It's but the back of the baseball card. And so, like, you know, that's their excuse. It's like, yeah, but look at all the stats we're putting up, but we're still, you know, LLLLL, right? Yeah. And slowly, they're getting pretty close to being – it's going to be a tough road to hoe – as the people say, for them to make the playoffs, specifically when the division, their run of division championship is in jeopardy right now. They have to really get after it this season to kind of.
Right. Yeah. Here's what I can tell you. Let's talk about fun stats. Listen, in order for the Astros to win the division, they're going to have to win a fucking series. This year, if I'm not mistaken, they have won exactly two, possibly a third series. That's it.
So they've won three. Okay, so they've won series. So they've got that checked off. I think they have to make a run. They have to make a.
They're gonna have to start winning series plural and in a row.
Yeah, stacking baseball, stacking wins together for sure. That's the only way you get back in this thing. Okay, so we're talking. I was gonna ask you about culprit. Okay, culprit of why they're this bad. There's maybe I'll just give you multiple choice. There's injuries in pitching. There's a bit of over the hillness in. Specifically one player, and there's also a handful of players, or I guess Bregman's the main one, that are on contract years. So, like, give me, I mean, that's multiple choice, but anything other than that you want to add in? Like, what is the biggest? Oh, new coach, new manager also. Right. New manager. People want to throw him under the bus. Like, somehow he's out there, you know, giving up big leads or you know, not pitching well.
Yeah.
I forget his name, by the way.
Joe Espada.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. You can use those or what else. What do you think is the biggest reason for the Astros' ineptitude this year?
I would say it's kind of a combination of all of those things, even if you will.
Answer.
Perfect storm. Hold on. Let me answer the question. So, the new management, I don't know necessarily is what I would say to blame. Espada is not nearly as numbers or analytics driven as Dusty Baker was. However, Dusty was also one that, like, he didn't tinker with the lineup. Espada's trying to move players up and down all over the place early on. I mean, we're 30-something games in the season. He's trying things, and they're clearly not working as far as winning series.
Hold on. Let me stop real quick. So are you saying that is your, like, baseball philosophy set it and forget it? Like, you set a lineup and you just roll with it as Dusty Baker did? Because I'm just curious.
No.
Like, because you said that he tinkers with – Dusty didn't tinker. Espada does tinker.
Right. I would say that in the same – everybody on this team, again, speaking hyperbole for guys that I've never personally spoken to, but to even take Tucker, for example. Tucker all last year, only when he was going bad would he put on batting gloves. This year, Tucker has been the king of batting gloves. Now, he's actually tied for the American League lead in home runs. He's got up to 11 after today. He might actually have the Major League lead in home runs, tie for overall. So that part's working, but he's tinkering. He's also tinkering.
Okay.
There's a lot of tinkering going on from the manager, the players. You know, we had Abreu at first. Abreu took a AA assignment. John Singleton's now 8 games in a row playing first base, and he's doing better. Mm-mm. But he wasn't an everyday player last year or the year before, whatever, right?
Just back in groceries a couple years ago.
Yeah, and so all of these add-on factors. Then you have Bregman's on a contract year, and he's hitting like shit. And so is that in his mind? In my opinion, probably so. You know, Tucker also wants that contract extension, and he's doing the opposite of Breggy. He's actually putting up numbers that would warrant something. I still think that this team is missing, and I've said it repeatedly, right? It's the Carlos Correa factor, the voice, the attitude, the something. They don't have that verbal leader right now. They just don't. And
do you need that? Okay, does that need to come from a player? Is that what you're thinking?
What's that?
It needs to come from a player.
I would think so, yes.
Is baseball more or less like needing of that? I'm just kind of curious your thoughts.
I think that this team, when they've been good, when I've seen them be as good as they are or have been, right? They have had that voice, that leader, step up and do that.
Who was that in 2019?
Was Correa still? Nope. Correa was with 19, no?
Nope.
No, it wasn't 19 for you? It would have been Verlander then.
Verlander's there now.
Yeah, but he left... for a minute and came back, and it's it's a different team for, if you will. I know it's cliche.
Yeah, no, you're saying like they need a leader or they need some like fire or whatever. Like I'm not dismissing that you need something there, but yeah. I don't know if that's what the team's missing.
Oh, my answer was that it was a myriad of all these things. You said weak answer. I think it's the amalgamation, the perfect storm of these things. My true answer is I have no fucking idea because I'm not on the team and I'm not in the locker room.
But I see
these things and I'm speculating on. I think it's all of these things together and then some. Right? There's more and more to it. Of course, it could also just be that simple, right? That they're not playing good because they're bored or don't care or whatever. Mm. It could be that easy too. I don't know.
You think? Okay, that's interesting. Talent wise, there's no doubt that there's like a lot of talent in this team. You know what I mean? And so like, injuries to me is one interesting piece because
that pitching rotation is all fucked. Yeah, and they just lost JP France yesterday. By the way,
yeah, they give up a bunch of runs. I would add on to their injuries. The injuries in the pitching staff, and it's mostly starting pitching injuries, but they let a lot of bullpen guys walk last year, and they had a really solid bullpen. And there's some element of, letting Stanek walk, letting Neris walk, Maton, you know what I mean? These guys, these middle reliever guys who are top notch, they built that up, and they kind of replaced it with like one guy mm-hmm. who is like the best at his position, but, he's been terrible too. I saw a stat the other day. It was something like Ryan Pressly and Josh Hader, they should be in the minor leagues based on their stats so far this season.
Hader's ERA is over 9, and so's Pressly's. They're not pitching well.
They've given up a ton of runs.
Get to come in, right? They're few and far between.
Yeah, they haven't been in like safe situations either. But their middle relief is terrible. The starting pitching is really beat up. And so, like, Astros Twitter is, like, in this really dark place of, like, okay, rebuild, sell, so on and so forth. Sell Bregman. He's on a contract year. Sell Kyle Tucker because, you don't want to pay to extend him. They've got a freaking an anchor of money in Jose Abreu, which, I'll own that. Like, last year I said Gurriel was not the guy to sign. You need to upgrade that. He was the best first baseman. They – overpaid him because that's what the market says, and he has been a dud. I'll own it.
He got a double A assignment the other day, which the last podcast we talked about, and Yuli had just gone to double A with the Braves, double or triple A, either way, both of our former first basemen are in the minor leagues now.
Gurriel doesn't play for this team. He's not signed for contract for this team. And, like, there's these goofy Astros fans. Like, bring him back. Like, that's the answer. I mean,
sure. Come on. And then you've had others that were saying, we need Maldonado 30, back. 30, like, we need Maldi back. And Maldi's batting average is 0.57.
Yeah. And, in offense, they've scored some runs. It's not necessarily, like, a lack of offense. You said they're leading the league in hits. They're smacking the ball around.
They've hit some home runners. Yeah.
There's a lot of variables. And, I think my takeaway probably from the Astros season is –
that was an amazing goal, by the way.
First of all, Astros fans are spoiled rotten.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're such like fickle, terrible like fans.
Well, Houston is a city, I would say,
kind of falls into that. All this success we've had, for the last, we're going on 7-8 years now. High level success. I mean, Dynasty was the name bandied around. Only won 2 World Series. Probably one more would have maybe had that in that conversation. But that we're so spoiled that this team should be like great all the time, that any kind of lapse in success is kind of like, fire everybody, trade everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's been dubbed the golden era of Astros baseball. It's not wrong. It's just at some point.
But the response from fans is like it's rash. It's everybody's got to go. The coach sucks. Fire him. Trade Abreu. Trade Bregman. I saw the other day somebody, and I think this is ridiculous. Like, everybody's on the table, right? Kyle Tucker's trade bait. Bregman, trade bait. Alvarez, trade bait. And it's like,
Alvarez under contract.
Yeah,
what? No.
Alvarez is still in arbitration. Like, he's going to make
pennies. No, they signed an extension for Jordan.
Okay.
Jordan signed one in the postseason or in the offseason. Yeah,
I'll have to look that up. But either way, that's like he may be one of the greatest.
I looked it up yesterday when Serge and I were talking.
He may be one of the top, five hitters, in the last 10 years. He might go down as one of the greatest of all time when it's all said and done. But yeah, like it'd be tough to trade him. But so they're like, sell the farm, sell everybody, let's rebuild, so on and so forth. It's like, I think people forget those, 20 teens years when we're losing 100 games, like that rebuild.
Maybe we don't need to rebuild
like that. Maybe that's not the rebuild in the modern state for the Astros, but that concept of rebuild, like it's it's so uncomfortable, and I think it's so rash and so like naive. You know what I mean? It's like you don't want to rebuild. You really don't. You don't want to wait 2 or 3 years for them to be knocking the door again. The window's still open. Pena's been a disappointment.
He got his second home run tonight.
The outfield still needs
work.
Fourth
home run of the season.
I heard rumors of them like looking at Vladimir Guerrero because the Blue Jays.
Vladdy Jr.
The Blue Jays have a first baseman that can play, and they might be trading him. He's on the last year of a contract, so it'd be like. But the Astros also have a pretty skim minor league system. So,
I think skim milk's a good description of our.
Did I say skim
system.
Milk?
You said skim.
I said skim. Yeah. Slim skim.
You said skim, but we'll go with skim milk. Okay, I like it. It's skim milk. It's watered down.
I like them to get to like 2%. Maybe, anyways. Yeah.
So anyways, that's what I said. Last night when they were losing and it was terrible, we flipped over. We had the hockey game on, and it was the first hockey game was 3-3 in the third. And then we watched the Colorado-Dallas game, which ended up going to overtime as well. And it was far more entertaining to watch those than the Astros get bludgeoned.
Yep.
And even tonight, like I said, I turned it on. It was 5-1 when I turned it on in the fourth inning. I don't even know who the fuck was pitching. Some skinny little dude with red beard.
Mm.
And I watched about 10 pitches, and he gave up a couple more hits and this, and I was like, okay, I just can't right now.
Yeah. I mean, they got some time to turn around. It's a long season, but yeah, I'm not optimistic. You know, but to me, honestly, like, you're not going to take away the joy of 2017 and 2022.
Yeah, no, I'm not selling the farm yet or anything. They're a little rougher to watch.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So on and so forth.
So basketball playoffs, playoff hockey. Playoff hockey is more. I mean, basketball's been fine too. Hockey's a lot of fun.
I don't care about any of the teams. I didn't watch any basketball this year, so I don't care about any of the teams in the playoffs. I've heard some controversy. One game, some guy probably should have been ejected and didn't, and so on and so forth. I don't know. I don't care. Yeah, don't care.
He got fined.
Don't know. Don't care. Basketball is still a blind spot for me. Hockey. You know, I'll come over here and watch it for you. It's an exciting activity, but it still hasn't gripped me. I haven't found my team. Sure. But I will. And you can skip forward the next 2 minutes if you don't care about this. If you care about hockey, probably whatever. Anyways, it is an interesting year for our soccer team, the Arsenal Gunners. And I talked to you about this the other day, and we'll kind of unpack this now. For the first time in 20 years, Arsenal is, on the precipice of having, I think this season will go down if they don't win the championship. Probably the top five, maybe top eight seasons.
How many games is Arsenal?
Two games left in the season. One big one with Manchester United this weekend. But Arsenal right now sits on top of the league.
Well, the last one we watched was in the morning.
Yeah.
And that was, have they played one since then?
Nope. No.
Well, they haven't played since then.
No. That was last Saturday, Bournemouth. And, not to break down the game too much, but. We did stay up until 6:30 to watch the game. That was kind of interesting and fun and an adventure in itself. But I think I told you that day, and I'll regurgitate it here. Like, I think I said something to the effect of, "What did I say? Do you remember what I said? I said I will spend the rest of my life giving you all the credit in the world for being the catalyst, the reason, the."
The missing piece of Arsenal
winning a championship again, because you kind of quasi became a fan through me, and that is growing as we speak. If they were to pull it out this year, I would give that win to you in a way that it was worth it for me for Arsenal to win, to spend the rest of my life like owing that championship to you would burn me, deep down, because they've never been this close. This is close as close gets. They're 1 point ahead of Manchester City, right? 2 games left for Arsenal, 3 games left for Manchester City.
Yeah. So Manchester City has a game in hand.
Game in hand, right. If Manchester City wins out, they'll win the league by 2 points. If Arsenal wins out as well. Arsenal's got to do their business. They got a game against Manchester United this weekend, which will be tough. It always is tough against Manchester United. Man City has Tottenham next week. And let me unpack this for you, by the way. I got to look at the table to make sure this math works out. But Tottenham is Arsenal's rival, right? They're whatever, crosstown, mortal rival, okay? Every year, it's called North London Derby when Arsenal and Tottenham play. It's a big game every year. And Arsenal's, luckily we've had the lion's share of wins and most important wins, so on and so forth. But it's a big game every year. You want to beat your rival, so on and so forth, okay? We beat them 3-2 a couple weeks ago in a close game. We were up 3-0. They came back 2, and, like, you know, a bunch of Arsenal fans, like, nuts were in their throats. Like, oh, my God, are they going to freaking Tottenham us? You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's an element of the day after you win that's called St. Tottenham's Day, which is, like, a whole – yeah, it's a whole thing. I mean, rivalries in soccer are just amazing. Maybe we'll pull it off to the break.
Oh, that's fun.
The kid saying, you know, what is Tottenham shit? What is shit,
yeah,
Tottenham? So – Manchester City, the toughest team they have left to play. Tottenham's in fifth place. The toughest team they have left to play on their schedule is Tottenham, okay? So Tottenham is also in fifth place. If you make it into fourth place, you get to the Champions League. So Tottenham has an incentive to get into fourth place. They're going to bump one spot up, okay?
Right.
Beating Manchester City would go a long way for them to get into fourth place. Beating Manchester City might also give Arsenal the title. So as a like Tottenham fan, Arsenal hater, like, do you want your team to play in the Champions League next year, or do you want your rival to lose again? You know what I mean, on the last day of the season. So it's such an interesting element to how these games are shaking out towards the end of the season.
Sure. And as you said that, a parallel, go just for a minute, because we're going to go off of soccer, because sometimes you bore me with soccer, but I'm getting there with you. But that's okay. We're going to think about the fans listening, the all 11 of them. So. What you was
the
thinking of quickly
Arsenal.
Was
it's going to turn to the Arsenal podcast.
First round, it was Game 7, Boston and Toronto.
Basketball again?
No, hockey.
Hockey, okay.
The Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs? Maybe, yeah, let's go with that. Anyways, Game 7. Before Game 7 even started, Larson sent me a text, and it was hilarious. It was fun facts. Fun facts were either one of two things is going to happen tonight between Boston and Toronto. Either Boston is going to lose two series in a row where they had a 3-1 lead, or Toronto is going to lose for the sixth year in a row in a Game 7.
Wow.
Toronto lost.
Wow.
That also went to overtime, by the way.
Interesting. They say hockey is the playoffs are probably the most interesting, exciting, riveting drama.
It's fast. Yeah. And you know, again, when they get pissed off and there's a problem, they're allowed to fight. That's the part that makes it so much more fun. When there's a problem and they get mad at each other, they're allowed to fight. And fight they do. And what was funny is in the round one, when Colorado in the last game against the Winnipeg, they're up like 5-1 in the last game. The series is all – it's over. There's 2 minutes left in the game, a minute and a half.
That.
And what happens? Winnipeg starts fighting. Like literally just start – they start fighting everybody. There's fucking six fights in the last 3 minutes of this game because they're not going to win. They're like, fuck it. We're just now going to whoop your ass. And so that's what they started doing, physically having fights. It was great.
That's fine.
It's great. That's why I like hockey a lot, and it's fast, and et cetera, et cetera. So,
anyways. We had a conversation. I don't know. I used to think I liked the fights in hockey, but I listened to a podcast the other day, and somebody's like, "It just cheapens the game. It's just it's not about the sport anymore." And I'm like, "Huh, interesting." I tend to like it, but you know, it's not hockey. It's fighting. You know,
sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting old, Nick. I guess
things are changing. I enjoy it. It's all good.
All right.
So we're done with baseball.
Texans, thoughts on the uniforms?
I like them.
Yeah.
I like them. I'm cool with them. I like that. I'm looking forward to what they're going to do this.
That was a pretty soft endorsement. I like them. Sergio, thoughts on the uniforms? They're good. Sergio says they're good. I mean, they're fine. I like mixing it up. I think the NFL, I think all American sports needs to take, and I've talked to this.
I like the soccer. Well, that's what the Texans have three uniforms this year. They have the home away and then like an
alternate. It'll take another 15 years for them to change.
You want it done every year.
I like that. I like the idea of there's excitement around it. There's you buy a new jersey every year. You know, there's an element of like we went to that game.
Right.
We went to that bar. Seeing everybody in their different era Arsenal jerseys was super. This becoming because I kind of know what some of them are. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the Saturday morning when we watched the game. You were wearing a different Arsenal jersey that day, and I was like, "What are you wearing?" And you said whatever year it was from. I was like, "Oh." All right.
Yeah, it was 91 Bruce Banana JVC jersey. Yeah.
There you go.
So, like, there's a, for example, if the Astros had unique uniforms every year, you could understand the 2017 jersey, and that's the year we won it, and the 2019 where we lost it, and the 2020, you know what I mean? Like, there'd be an interesting element of those changes, you know, and some of them, they could be subtle or whatever, that it'd be like, this is the year we won it. Like, there was, so Arsenal has gold in their jersey this year, and I think there's an element of last year they finished in third place, I want to say, and they were in first place for a while and lost it late in the season. And so there's elements of, are they adding gold to the jersey this year as a, you know, way to whatever predict that they might be getting a gold medal or a gold championship or something like that, which is kind of interesting. I, you know, whatever, play into that whatever you want. But I don't know. I like the changing of the jerseys every year.
The every year part for me is definitely new, but I don't have any problem with it. I like that in the manner as of you described it, and I mean I do appreciate it. I just don't know how you could. I say this in honesty, and it's going to be from ignorance also. I don't know how football could change their uniforms every year, but in the same token, right, is it possible? Well, of course it's possible. How could you do it every year? I don't know, but if there's an example, right, soccer does it. So you can at least take it, that model and do what you will with it. One last thing on hockey. The reason I, again, enjoy the shit out of the playoff hockey, this game was 3-0, and the team that was down 3-0, they came back 1-5-4 in regulation.
Nice.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. All right. We're getting close to the break. I'm going to pause it here, and then we'll come back and talk some more shit.
Sure. So good.
So good.
Run the Jewels, DJ Shadow, Nobody Speak.
Yeah.
That video, Ryan Carpenter, the magician, he introduced it to me, right? The song and the video. Mm. And I love the fact that he literally, the line is like, Nobody Speak, Nobody Gets Choked. And when he first played it, I was like, hold on, rewind that shit. Did you just say Nobody Speak, Nobody Gets Choked? Mm. And I'm like, holy shit. That's fucking gangster. Mm. And then the video is a bunch of old white guys. Think of like, not Parliament, not Senate, the old age guys like that, those sitting around a table, and the voices, like they're mouthing all the words. So even as it starts, the first guy's an old white guy, and he's singing "Picture This," da da da, right?
Interesting.
And so when we get to the "Nobody Speak, Nobody Gets Choked," he's the first guy talking, is the one who says it across the table, and the dude who says it to, he points at him. He's got glasses. He takes them off, and then we get into a full on brawl. Everybody in there. Rumble, we grab the goddamn flag. We're trying to stab people with the flagpole.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen the video, I don't think.
No, it's good. Yeah, it's a good one. If you've never seen it, Nobody Speak, DJ Shadow, Run the Jewels. Yeah. Nobody Speak, Nobody Gets Choked.
That's so interesting. This is nothing to do with anything, but because we're going to talk about something. I started rewatching The Sopranos. Okay. Which, that's interesting in itself, but let me tell you about the last episode. I forget what episode it was now.
Do you remember what season you're on?
First season.
Okay.
First season. Yeah. There's a whole episode about Anthony and ADD, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's fascinating to watch a show that came out in the 90s deal with ADD, given ADD or whatever, whatever.
Did The Sopranos come out in the 90s? I don't think the 90s.
Late 90s, 1999 I think is when it first came out, something like that. Early 2000s?
We lived in the apartment, me and Nicole, and Flo was with us at that point.
Yeah, so yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay, so the time that it came out for
is definitely early 2000s.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That they're dealing with this topic that is like, I mean, like it was probably earth shattering or groundbreaking, or like people that didn't have any kind of experience with what that they're, you know what I mean? This like for example, like Tony is, you know, I would just smack him into shape kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean, like
it's foreign to people for sure. Well,
you know what I mean? It wasn't understood, and you know, the treatments, whatever. And like, you have your own opinion about all of that, but it's just interesting. Like, we just smack him, and he's acting up, and we'll just beat him. You know what I mean? He's going to get it when he gets home. You know what I mean? Which, like, that, you know, that's kind of the way I was parented, too. It's like, right. You're going to get it when you get home.
It's presented in a manner of, like, almost that they're not actually ADHD, or just not a real thing. Like, they're just misbehaving, and what they need is a good old smack.
Yeah, I think that's the mentality back then was like, this is a made up thing, and what really will solve these kids is just a good smacking or a good talking to or a good whipping or a good, you know what I mean, like, and you know, that's all they needed was discipline or sure. punishment or yeah, something yeah, like yeah. that. And you know, again, and the way they're approaching it, like, it's abhorrent to how people might think these days, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So that was kind of a really interesting, you know, like, journey back in time a little bit. Right, I watched the show before. It's my second or third time to watch the show. I think I remember the way I watched it was like Blockbuster renting the season at a time.
We were, yeah. When we got introduced,
like, I never watched it live or whatever, week by week.
When Nicole and I were first together, Flo had moved into the apartment, so we were over right there by Steuben Airline 1960, right by Old City Pub, right. And at one point, like, I don't know that, I guess we had HBO at the time. I think we did. Anyways, it didn't matter. We were on AMC. They were running The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. And so we watched an episode, and Flo came home at some point, and we were watching The Sopranos, and he sits down, he's like, oh yeah. And then there's no cussing, and it's edited, and he's like, what the fuck are y'all watching? And I was like, AMC, and he's like, no, 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 no. He's like, you got to watch this the right way. And I was like, well, no, we've never seen it. That's why we're watching. He's like, yeah. And you have to watch it the right way. And so it was on a break at that point. So we weren't able to go to HBO live and watch it. It wasn't like on Sundays. And at that point, we didn't have on demand or anything really.
Right. Yeah.
And so the Blockbuster across the way.
You kids don't even know before streaming days.
We drove across the street and we picked up season one and two from Blockbuster. And then so that's how we got introduced.
And how many discs do you remember that being?
The
it was DVDs. This DVD day. Yeah, so by the way, you have to break this down because the kids don't know. Like most people listen to this, whatever be our age, but like once upon a time, you put these discs in this machine, and that's how you played
that,
your movies.
Before that, you had a tape.
Well, of course, but we're talking about Sopranos, and it was just DVD time.
Yeah, it was DVDs.
And so you know, there was no streaming. So you had to go. And so here's the craziest thing about that, because I experienced watching it by renting it too. When you were done with season three, and it may have been like season three part one and part two, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how they had that broken up. Like, if you finish season three, part two, and you're looking for season four, part one, and somebody else had it checked out, you couldn't watch it until they brought it back in.
Yeah.
And then you had to, like, make sure you were there when they brought it back. You know what I mean? Like, it was so much more work.
Oh, yeah.
Not even to mention the VHS, we had to rewind, Be Kind, Rewind. Yeah. So, yeah. So,
So that's how we got introduced was back then. And then we caught up for the last and final season. And by the time that rolled around, we were living in the house here. So,
yeah. So, a couple things. I want to kind of finish up this Sopranos talk because, like, my takeaway is, number one, it's really interesting because I watched Breaking Bad was like the last I rewatched that, and that was the last kind of show that I dug into.
That one again. And Ozark too.
Okay, Ozark falls in this category, by the way, and that is anti-hero. I find that an interesting like concept in specifically in TV shows. Right. I mean, I'm saying anti-hero. Do you understand the concept that I'm trying to say? Like this idea.
I think I do, but explain it.
So, as I understand it, anti-hero is a protagonist, but is otherwise flawed. Like a hero would mean, you know what I mean? Like Superman's a hero. Like otherwise, you know,
technically, true almost even kind. It like, could be viewed as a bad guy, if you will.
Well, he is a bad guy in certain elements, but also you root for him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's the element of like flawed, you know, or unperfect, right? But you still root for them because there's something that's. There's something you find true in justice or just in their I guess approach or something like that. There's something about that element of flawed that I think is drawing to, you know, main characters of these TV shows, you know.
Sure.
And Sopranos is like one of the earliest and probably one of the best like kind of examples of that. You know, you root for Tony, but I mean he's a criminal for you know what I mean, for all intents and purposes, right?
No, sir. He was in Waste Management. That's all he was ever in. Waste.
Hold on. We saw the show. We saw crimes he committed. He's a criminal by many times over. Okay.
My affiliation with the family does not allow me to confirm or deny what you just said. I only stand by what I said, Tony was in Waste Management.
He's dead now, by the way. The actor is.
I know. R.I.P. James Gandolfini.
How about this? Okay, so second thing was, now that we brought up The Sopranos in a completely organic way, we said Breaking Bad. We said Ozark. Tell me, actually, let me ask the question. Take Breaking Bad and Ozark out of this because they're not quite in the conversation of what I'm trying to ask. Tell me your top three shows that you watched in whatever context, but like kind of pre-streaming time or pre, you know what I mean? Like The Sopranos, how we just described watching it on DVD, right? Meaning it's from a bygone era, from our youth, or however you want to describe that. But like somebody who's been blind spot in that area. Like, what are the shows you say, oh my gosh, you have to watch this? Like, for example, I watched Tombstone the other day in a way that really.
So when you say shows, though, you mean also movies? Is that
what? Well, I mean, I'm just saying Tombstone is also in that context of like, shows that were around when I was younger in a way that, I mean, there's a, maybe what I'm asking is like, what are your nostalgic things that like somebody who didn't live in our time, like something, maybe however you need to answer the question is like, what movies do you feel like you need to show your kid or TV shows or whatever that would add to their culture or like an alien or, you know what I mean? Somebody like a foreigner, you know what I mean? Like the idea of like what, like Sopranos, like if you're gonna sit and watch any show and like, you know, at any time, like Sopranos is it like, is Seinfeld fall in that for you? Does Friends fall in that for you? Does whatever. Movies are a little different. I think I think TV shows is a more interesting conversation.
Okay. shows wise, as far as before streaming, and for what it's, for the record, right before streaming, I never watched either Breaking Bad or Ozark. COVID is what we got to forgot to.
Right.
Anyways, shows wise, like I've always been a big fan of The Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park is another one for me. And interesting you said Friends. Like, Nicole is a big Friends fan. She's one of the people that I know that she can tell you the name of most of the episodes the same manner that I can tell you most of the names of the episodes of South Park.
Interesting.
And what I did learn recently from her in that is that the titles of the episodes of Friends, by the way, they all are in this silo of the one with. The titles of every one of the episodes are the one with. And and so it'll say the one with, you know, the brown shirt, the one with the one with the marriage proposal, the one with the name change, that kind of stuff.
What's your takeaway on that? Because I got some thoughts.
It's interesting. Yes. And like one, I was until I knew that Nicole actually had that information in her head. Right. Uh-huh. I didn't know it.
You didn't know that was it. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know that she had that one. And two, that the way that they named their episodes. So that was interesting in itself.
So, but what is your takeaway about that? Like, okay, about the, I'll say, like, for me, there's an element of how layman casual observers might describe an episode is, oh, you remember the one where
the one with,
the one where, Chandler did the funny thing in the thing or whatever. Chandler is that a real
person? That's one of them.
I remember watching the show, but I wasn't like a destination watcher. It was, you know, it was on. It was funny. It was fine. It was probably, I would say.
As you said, destination watcher, or something popped in my head, if I may.
Go ahead.
Remember back in the day? So we'll go way back for a minute. Do you remember TGIF?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, the whole lineup, right?
What was it? Family Matters.
Family Matters, Step by Step. You had.
That's all I got.
So it was Family Matters. It was Step by Step. Uh-huh. It was and I'm thinking, what Cody was on Step by Step, wasn't he? He ended up being
Step by Step. Okay, maybe
that's one with Patrick Duffy, right? Step by Step with Patrick Duffy
can't give
and
names.
Carol Summer, Suzanne Summers.
I can't get names. Yep. I think so.
Family Matters, Step by Step. What was Urkel? That was Family Matters. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. What am I missing?
What else was
there's
on
a
there?
A couple of them. There's,
yeah,
there was
I
like
know,
four.
I think
of them.
It was four. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It went and it changed. I mean, it in and out, but yeah.
So that was one destination. The other one I was going to say Destination Washington for me for certain, though, growing up, was X-Files.
Interesting. That's a blind spot for me. Like, that's something right there that I'd probably need to go watch again, like I'm doing Sopranos. Well, Sopranos is the second or third time I've watched it, but X-Files would be the first time.
Knight Rider and Airwolf. Yeah, we're
man,
going
I
way
think
back,
those
way
were
back.
A little bit before my
dun,
time.
Dun, 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 dun,
I was gonna say
Leno. Leno. All right.
Who? Oh, the
he said Leno. Like
the
Jay
late
Leno.
Night. Man, I tell you what, I was a big fan of In Living Color. I used to watch that.
In Living Color.
And there's something else that popped in. You, what did he say? You said a show just a second ago. Dang it. We'll come back to it. What else? What other? Let's go. Keep going on the shows that
I said. X-Files. The X-Files.
Oh, I was gonna ask, what do you think your favorite sitcom as a child was? And when that question popped in my head, I was thinking it was probably between Home Improvement and Roseanne. I think were my probably
I would say
two
between Home Improvement and Family Matters.
Family Matters. Okay, cool. Yeah, Home Improvement. I think struck me.
Tim the Two Man Taylor.
Yeah, that was good. I've always liked Tim Allen. I think he reminded me of my dad in a lot of ways.
You know, and there's oftentimes, you know, I'm insane over here, and oftentimes I have movie quotes and random quotes that pop into my head, and more often than not, and that's just how I'm going to qualify it. I hear this. There's a scene I can tell you for certain. It's an episode where Brad, Tim's oldest son, in the show, he's come to help on an episode of Tool Time, and Heidi is the new girl that has taken over from Pamela Anderson.
Okay,
right? And the quote that Tim Allen says first at one point, because Brad's just like just drooling, right? He says, "Hurry up, we got to do this before Brad wills himself through puberty."
Oh wow! That's
and
so
then
funny.
the sign off was, "See you next time," right? Brad said, "Knee is sex time."
Oh my goodness!
That's that tooth. Those two things pop in my head. They run through all just randomly all the time.
Dang it!
As you said, Home Improvement also came in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Knee is sex time.
There was something about Tim Allen. I think not in personality in any way, shape, or form, really. But in maybe visually that reminded me of my dad. Maybe something about that. But also, I think my dad liked him, so there's probably an extra interest for me liking him. He's funny.
Sure.
Also, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if I ever told you this before. Brad, you know, Brad played soccer. Did you know that?
He was
our age. And I played in the tournament. I never played against him, but I played in a tournament, the same tournament that he was at.
He was physically there?
Yeah, yeah. His team was playing there as my team was playing. We didn't play against him. I think, I can't remember the exact same age. I can't remember if he's.
I think we're all in real.
But
real
what I'm
close.
Saying is, like, tournaments are divided by age groups. So I don't know if he was in the same age group as me, but I know that there was rumors that he was there. That was
gotcha,
the whole thing.
Gotcha,
that, like, yeah, it was in Florida. It was in Tampa, Florida. Yeah, nice. Yeah. So that was one of their, like, you know, interesting story. Brush with fame, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Like, whatever. Not even a close brush.
Sure.
A rumor of brush. But yeah, so that was like, oh, yeah, well, it's kind of cool.
I didn't know he actually played soccer in real life. I mean, I know it was on the show, but I was not aware that he was really in real life. The other part of the Home Improvement, like, I loved the cars that Tim Allen would bring on there. And I remember the car that he fixed up for Jill, Pamela Richardson, right? I think that's her name, Pamela Richardson. That seems right. It was a Nomad, and it was a red and white fucking wagon looking thing. And it was like, it was beautiful. Paint job was glorious, but it was like, man, that's a wagon. And then he turned this fucking thing on. Like, oh, we're not playing under that thing. Oh, holy shit. Yeah.
Were you, as a teenager, into cars like that?
No. No, like, I know about cars. I know more now, but even still, I'm not a car guy.
So
like
I had like car pictures on my wall. Did you do that? You have that?
No,
not really. Okay, like I was never a car guy. I think there's an element of like maybe I wanted to be the kind of guy who'd be a car guy. You know what I mean? But I like didn't have the energy or patience or anybody who could teach me how to. Like my dad wasn't a car guy necessarily, but he spent time early in his life working in a garage, like, and by garage I mean like in Pennsylvania it was like gas station / oil change, tire rotation, that kind of thing.
So I was gonna make a joke. In Pennsylvania it was like, you know, horse and buggy changing the wheels on the wagon, the Quaker or what, Amish up there. That was the joke, but yeah, it's okay.
Close. Yeah. I mean, they lived next to the Amish.
Yeah,
sure.
That's why that was.
But so my dad, you know.
But listen, you know what? He wouldn't have changed their wheels because they changed their own. The Amish don't need no fucking
help. Thank you.
They don't outsource shit.
Dumb joke. Dumb joke, recycle, edit that out, by the way, like we do every single time. Anyways, so, like, my dad didn't know, like, he wasn't a car guy necessarily, but he'd worked in a place where he knew, you know, he knew a bit about cars. So he was also kind of a do-it-yourself kind of guy. And so he, you know, he'd do some things around him. I'd learn some things from him. But he wasn't, like, a car guy. And by car guy, I mean, like, he didn't need speed. He didn't need, you know, he didn't.
We're not
like
out there tinkering all the time, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he could change oil. Like, he knew enough to, you know what I mean? But, like
I think what you're saying is the same as my dad. Like, my dad could change brakes and this and oil, all those things, but he's not souping up the motor. Well, he's not intentionally, like, buying all these things to add on, etc.
I'm guessing that you and I, and Sergio's in the room too, we can all change oil and whatever. What I'm saying is my dad had one level deeper than that by working in a place where he was around cars. You know what I mean? But like he didn't get the need for speed or anything like that. And so for me, you know, I think as a teenager, I remember, you know what I mean, being attracted to cars. And like there was kind of a tie-in from cars to girls, maybe.
Sure.
Hot women.
Yeah, yeah.
We're always taking pictures in front of cars or something like that. That probably was more interesting to me. But, you know, and, you know, there's a point in time where, like, you know, I wanted to have a hot rod, but I didn't have hot rod money. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
You know, I did.
There's a big old price tag on those motherfuckers.
You know, I had a freaking Honda Civic. You know what I mean? I put some wheels on and, you know, put a speaker.
Don't forget about the tip, though. You put the exhaust tip.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Just a tip. But I never got the, like, I never needed to own a Corvette or a Camaro or a Trans, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't. I had friends that had that kind of stuff, and that was fine for me. But I never really got that
itch,
that car bug. But sure. I remember also, but like the story you described about Home Improvement and seeing that car, like there's something about, ooh, you know what I mean? Like respect and getting it, so on and so forth. In a way that maybe I'm curious about, like kids these days don't even seem like they're halfway in. Like we, like that story we told, that like that wouldn't even interest them.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like kids these days, it's hard to even get them, half of them want to drive, which I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I think that's an element too. Like, that's, by the way, that's subconsciously maybe what I'm trying to unpack there. They don't want to drive. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, well, okay. For us, is it fair to say, both of us, and ask Sergio as well, like turning 16 and getting that driver's license and before that getting that permit was like I remember my 16th birthday, I went and got my driver's license. Ever tell the story before?
You can.
My 16th birthday, we got out of school, and Kim Manger was like, it's your birthday. Do you want to get your license? And I'm like, hell yeah, let's go get my license. It was me, Kim.
Hello, Kimberly Carroll.
Is that her last name now?
Kimberly Carroll. Oh. Middle name is Carroll.
Oh, okay. So she's like, yeah. And
it's Reedy now, Reedy.
Okay, yeah. That threw me off by Carroll. Do you remember she drove a red Ford Ranger?
Yeah, the same red Ranger that her sister Jennifer had.
Probably so, yeah.
The extended cab, the Ranger back. It was
extended cab. It was like half cab in the back.
Well,
it's
like my dad had a gray.
Yeah, a sideways seat.
Well, yeah, it's the extended cab that had the not really full window. Like they put that weird thing in it, so it looks like a double pane on the back.
Yeah, but it had a side seat in the back. You sit sideways. Okay, yeah, so the three of us go to the DMV. Right, we're gonna get my whatever. They're doing me a huge solid, by the way, because my parents, like, they don't get home until whatever, 5. They're not taking me. It's like,
when you can't go DMV at 5?
We got to school at 2:30, or maybe even earlier back in those days. And I'm like, let's fucking go. And they're like, let's go. And we drive down there. We go to Humble DMV, whatever, DPS. And we're sitting in line, and I forget something. I'm like, I forgot something. And they're like, you gotta be kidding me. So I can't remember. I think Kim, not Lindsay. It would have been Kim. Kim drove back to the neighborhood and then back to get the thing.
So she went all the way back to your house and pick up your shit?
I think that's the story. I think so.
Wow.
I think that's the story.
I hope she listens to this and want her to tell. I want to say what an angel she is for doing that.
There's more to the story, by the way.
Oh, wow. Even more?
There's more to the story. So
extra halos.
I get my driver's license. I get home. I'm fucking stoked, right? My dad is excited. I mean, like, I'm on 10, my dad's like a 7, and my dad's excited because he doesn't have to take me to soccer practice anymore. Like,
now
he doesn't have to take
now you drive yourself around.
My dad doesn't have to take 3 hours out of his life 2 to 3 nights a week to take me to soccer practice. You know what I mean? I don't blame him. My kids all play soccer. Like, I don't, you know, that's ugh. I get it. So I'm like, all right. And I had a car. Like, my mom had bought a new car, and they're like, hey, this is gonna be your hand-me-down. Like, so a month before I turned 16, or maybe more than that, my mom bought a new car, and they're like, you just get to have my old hand-me-down. Which she treated like shit.
Which was a silver car, right?
The Mitsubishi Galant with the manually open sunroof. So
hold on, say that.
Manually open. Do you remember that? It had a clip and a pull. A clip and a pull.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I hadn't even thought about a manual sunroof in forever. And so when you said that, my mind's eye went to my car with the sunroof. And I'm like, how the fuck would I manual? Oh, yeah. Back in the day, you had the thingy that you would, like, you unlock the handle and then you move it.
Ask me if it leaked.
Of course it leaked.
All right, so
because it was a manual thing.
So I get home from the DPS with my brand new paper license. You know, I'm a legal driver now, right? And for the first time in my life, I'm going to drive myself to soccer practice. And I come out of Memorial Hills, and I'm going over the bridge over Hardy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going
55
and a 45, right? So I get over the top, I crest the hill, and guess what's sitting on top of the hill?
A 6 foot asshole?
A cop, a police.
That's what, a 6 foot asshole with a radar gun?
I don't know if he has 6 foot or not. And so I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be, you know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Pulls out of his.
Day one, moment one, he got his license.
Pulls out of his spot, like, right? Starting to get in my lane, you know what I mean? Because you pass him, and he's, you know what I mean? So he's got to go from zero to, right? Pulls out of my lane. The car behind me is kind of close-ish, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to take him some wiggle to get behind me. Anyways, so he's driving for a little while, and then he flips his lights on. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, my dad's going to kill me. Right. I've had my license for
less than
hours.
20 minutes. Less than 20 minutes.
This is a couple hours now, okay? Right, I'm telling him, this is like 7 o'clock at night, 6:30 at night, and I've had my license since, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. You know what I mean? This is hours after my license. My dad's not nice to begin with. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm just going with hyperbole. You've had it for 12 minutes.
So, you know, and the cop gets behind us, no lights for a little while. Me, car, and he's just waiting for that car to get out of the way. You know what I mean? At a certain point, he flips his lights on. I'm like, you've got to be. Ugh. So I put my blinker on. I start pulling over, right? Like, okay, what am I going to do here? Just get my light, maybe I'll get some slack, right?
Sure.
The car behind me starts pulling over too. The cop starts pulling over. We get to a certain point, and I go, this is not for me. I pull back into the lane. The car behind me and the cop keep pulling over, and I'm like, that's not for me.
So just to clarify, you still had the car between you and the cop this whole time? And
yes.
You started to pull over anyways?
Yes, yes.
What an amateur driver. What a rookie. You know what? You've been driving for 12 minutes. I got you.
I thought he was just trying to get people out of the way to come catch me. I thought that's what it was it. Listen, Nick, 3 hours of driver, you know
well,
what
yeah, that's what I said, amateur driver. You didn't know any
driver's license for 3 hours. Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, my nuts are like between my eyeballs. You know what I mean? They're past my throat.
Is it fair to say at that moment you were far less worried or scared of the cop? You were worried about what to get home with a ticket for
punishment for my dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because I'm gonna go home with a ticket for whatever, 10 over, 11 over, 12, whatever, blah, blah. I've been driving for 5 seconds and
like,
fuck this.
Yeah. I felt like that was gonna prove my dad
everything
right
ever
about,
said right.
About you can't
everything.
Be trusted with anything.
Everything.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. That was like,
it validates,
are you kidding?
Everything.
Like, this is why I don't want to give you a license. This is what I want you to drive. You know what I mean? Like, 3 hours. Like, you haven't been anywhere yet. This is your first trip out by yourself.
Right, you were supposed to go to fucking soccer practice.
I mean, the first trip out by myself. I can't remember. I may have driven.
Driven.
I may have matriculated the Ford Ranger home from the DPS. I can't remember now. That may have happened. But, I mean, I'm talking about this is my second voyage out. My first ever alone. I've never driven alone before. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, a permit, you know, so on and so forth. I've never driven alone. And so I'm like, yeah, I can take myself to. And I'm nervous as all get out, too. You know what I mean? Like, you're checking the mirrors, this and that. And I just have me going over that, you know, all excited. I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how close that is outside the neighborhood. You're talking about less than a mile.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, so nuts in throat their entire rest of the way. I think I drove like 32 miles an hour the rest of the way home.
Right, you're like, does this car have cruise control? Because I'm about to put this bitch on exactly 30. I don't care what the speed limit is. We're not going fast.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely good times.
I didn't get my driver's license until I was 18, by the way.
Is that right?
I didn't officially get my driver's license until I was 18. I actually got a ticket before I was 18, but I got that ticket as...
You're driving before 18, though.
Sure, no, I was definitely driving well before that. I got pulled over, actually, for running a... So it was on 1960, and even to this day, I would still argue it, but I know I'm in the wrong at this point, but it's the double median, right? If a school bus is on the other side of 1960, you don't have to stop.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a school bus that was stopping on 1960, and when I blew by it, the stop sign was not quite fully out.
Where out of 1960?
In the Humble area. Just past Kinswick.
Like, what fucking bus is stopping on 1960 now?
There's an apartment.
I'm thinking about it now, though. Think about it now.
There's an apartment complex that's before Kinswick. Anyways, that's what they were stopping for. Anyways.
That road's like a freeway now.
Yeah, and so as I went by, right, I thought I made it past with the stop sign not out, and Precinct 4 lights me up.
How old were you?
I was 15 at the time.
Wow.
And I told him I was Kevin, and I gave him his information, blah, blah. So the ticket was in his name, but I had to pay the fine.
Throw that asshole under the bus.
I had to pay the fine. Listen, at that point in time, it was a $570 with $500 tickets.
That's $1 million to you at that age, yeah.
Well, and yeah. The ticket now, by the way, because Gabriel's bus driver has gotten, she's threatened, by the way, Sergio, countless times that she's going to report your wife because your wife constantly does drive by when her stop signs are out.
See.
Today's fine, by the way, is $875.
That's it? Inflation's a mofo.
Yeah, that's a fucking ticket, bro. That's a ticket.
All right.
Anyway, so yeah,
that was the story about me getting my driver's license.
That was me. And so I didn't get it officially. I didn't get my own until I was 18. But I also had to come up with that money because I was working at that time.
Yep.
Part of the driving at that age also was, like, for me, it was I wanted to get my own job.
Oh, that's the point of the story.
Right. I wanted to get my own job. I wanted to get a job so I had my own money so I could do what I wanted with my money. And once I was driving, working, driving, like there was a different level of freedom. But it was ultimately it did circle back to me at that point was. My dad couldn't tell me what to do with my money if I'm working. When it was my allowance money, it's mine, but he could also just withhold it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so once I was working, he couldn't tell me what to do with my money. That was part of it.
My dad, in the most appropriate and hindsight being 2020 proper way, did tell me what to do with my money once upon a time. And that was, you know, you said a pawn shop in front of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the guy's name, JT maybe. There's a guy that lived in Inverness that was played guitar, and I was like, bro, let's start a band. The pawn shop in front of the neighborhood has drums. I'm going to buy some drums. I've got like $300 in the savings account. I'm going to buy some drums. And I can't remember exactly how my dad kept me from buying those drums, but somehow he obviously like berated me and told me that's an idiot idea and, you know, whatever he had to do there. But I probably had needed him to like take him home also. You know what I mean? He's like, go take a look at him. He's like, you're not buying those drums.
Yeah.
This is my money. Like, it was my money. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was probably 16 or 17. It was my money. And he's like, you're not doing that.
you're not bringing them in my house. You can have your drums wherever you want, but they're not in my house in my garage.
No, you're not. I'm not letting you just buy this either. I'll drag you out of this place. Yeah. Yeah. Listen.
You've never told me that story. That's pretty funny. I didn't know you had aspirations one day of being a drummer.
I mean, you know.
Are you musically inclined, Joshua?
What do you mean by that? Can't you tell? Can't you tell? Have you seen my DJ skills? I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah, yeah. They call you DJ what?
What?
DJ what? Is that your DJ name?
DJ.
What?
That's enough.
What? With three A's and a couple question marks? DJ what?
I had aspirations to be a drummer once upon a time. Like, I touched a guitar a handful of times, and I was like... It did not come easy for me in a way that I'm like, I'm going to try this. You know what I mean? I'm going to put dedication into this. And like, this is hard. Like, it's work. And I don't know. I never knew how to play guitar. So I was like, whatever. Like, sports to me came super easy. Like, run fast, run hard, jump high. You know what I mean? Like, that was, I could do that. Like, okay, you jump that high and I can jump this high. Okay, that's, you know what I mean? So sport, like, but music, It didn't speak to me.
Listen, not everybody who's like me, Josh, not everybody who's, is referred to as the songbird of their generation, not everybody has a voice somewhere between Fergie Nick. And Jesus. Listen, I understand that you do not possess the gift that I have when it comes to my musical abilities.
Wow. We're going to cut this part
with S. With an S. Abilities. Like three S's here.
Listen. I don't claim to be a singer, but I can carry a tune.
Oh, man, I can fucking murder a tune.
That's enough out of you.
Yeah, I meant those words.
Yeah, murder a tune. Song. Yeah. You can sing so poorly that they want to put it out of their misery or something. That's not murder.
Wait, yeah, so what you did was you took, like, I was going on a pun and a joke, and then you explained it in a boring way. So now it's just blah.
And let's finish the podcast here. Anyways, Dad did keep me from one time. He kept me from spending money. Like, you know,
yeah, next time I see Dennis, I'm gonna ask him why he didn't let you buy some drums.
I don't know.
I'm gonna tell him the story. I heard that Josh was gonna buy drums one time, and he said that it was his money, and you just wouldn't let him. Do you remember that? And can you tell me why? Because I'd like to know why. Because if nothing else, we can blame him.
Can we put it back on the podcast?
He stunted your goddamn musical journey. You could have been the next Lars Ulrich. You could have been, you know. Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters, Nirvana. It could have been something.
You know what?
Musically.
Now that you bring this back up, you know what? Resentment is now fully back in. Dad stole a life from me.
That's it. Son of a bitch. Dennis.
I'll tell you another thing, though. Like, my personality probably wouldn't fit drums. If I'm being honest. Like, I couldn't be sitting in the back. You know what I mean?
Can you hold multiple beats?
Harmonizing. No, I'm just saying I couldn't be sitting. You can't put me in the back.
That's exactly right there. There it is.
I love that you said that.
Yeah. You're right. You're not the guy sitting in the back. If the drums were sitting out up front and that was the spotlight, then yes. But because they're in the back, I got you. I like that. That, I think, was deep.
Here's a sidebar story, by the way, about drummers and singing that deals with Gabby. So the other day on the way home from Gabby's tournament in Arlington, like, music, I was falling asleep. I was like, we need to listen to music. And so I can't remember how this song got in my head, but it somehow got in my head during the gym meet, and I wrote down Eagles, play the Eagles, because Gabby never heard the Eagles before. I was like, do you know the song? She never heard the Eagles. I was like, she never heard the Eagles before. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Not any Eagles song. She was ignorant completely to the Eagles.
I think so, yeah. I said something to the effect of, you'll probably recognize some of these songs, but you don't understand where it comes, something like that. But there was an element I was listening to. I forget the song, but they were harmonizing, like the whole band was harmonizing, and I was like, Gabby, I forget how it got brought up, but I was like, I broke down Eagles on the way home. That was what it was, and I was like, there's something interesting about harmonizing, and there's something about that band and their harmonizing and the way they made music. There was, I don't know, it always spoke to me. It always was interesting to me. I think they're one of the greatest American rock bands. However you like. Whatever, shake that out. There is, and just now you're talking about drummer singing and so on and so forth. But Don Henley was the drummer of that band, and he went on to be a solo artist. But he sang songs, and somehow I mentioned to Gabby that this band is really interesting. They all harmonize. Even the drummer sings, and she's like, "What do you mean?" It's like, "Yeah, he even lead sings some songs." She's like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Okay." So we watched a video of Don Henley. You know what I mean? Like playing the drums and singing, and like it's. I don't know. It was just like new for her.
Fair, yeah.
And we went through a lot of the Eagles library. You know what I mean? But for me, like, you know, I learned the Eagles from my dad. I kind of grew up on classic rock music. My dad would every morning he'd take it to school or daycare. I just remember being in the car in the mornings with my dad and listening to classic rock music and just kind of like
classic rock, like 93.7 at the time, The Arrow or whatever the station was.
Something like that. Like, I remember Stevens and Pruitt, my dad listening to them too. Yeah.
Rock 101, KLOL.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. And but those songs, I remember like not knowing them and not understanding them, you know what I mean, early on. And then when CDs came out, somehow, I know what it was. Hold on one second.
So as you're taking your drink there, I wanted to ask you on the subject of the Eagles specifically. Do you remember there was a Mexican restaurant in Humble just south of 1960 that did that first shopping strip on the right there? I got my first tattoo there, and we got our tongues pierced. In that same strip, there was a little Mexican restaurant in that strip where we would go, you, me, and Henry, Kevin, and I forget the girl's name. He called one Cheddar, and then her friends.
I don't know.
Chrissy, whatever. But they would always. Well, we could drink underage there first. Bless their hearts. And two, there was a little jukebox, and they would always, the girls would always put on the Eagles.
Gotcha.
Tequila Sunrise was one of the first ones they would always play. And obviously we go with Hotel California and then Seven Bridges Road. And
yeah, I think Seven Bridges Road was the first song that we think of this.
I was thinking that too. Like the harmonizing at the very, very beginning of that.
So when CDs came out, okay, one year for Christmas, we bought my dad Eagles' Greatest Hit CDs, and that was kind of my, from like hearing the music to understanding the band, kind of like transition, if that makes any sense. Meaning, like, I'd always heard these songs on the radio, but they don't always say, or I don't always pay attention, this is so-and-so and so-and-so, you know what I mean? Right. And so, like hearing those songs, which I recognized back to back to back, and then also, like, the way I used to listen to CDs back then is, like, I'd have the pamphlet out with all the words, too, you know what I mean? Like, I just...
Would it annoy you like it would annoy me when they would have, like, the cover art in a fold-out, right, but they didn't actually have any lyrics?
Yeah, I really liked the lyrics, yeah.
And so when you didn't get them, like, it was a psych out almost?
I don't know if it annoyed me, but I just remember being like, man, the lyrics really added value
to this. Annoy me when they... Because you would... I felt like you would still have the same amount of the fold-out inside, so the CD cover, the case would come out, and for those who don't know, right, it would fold out 6, 7, 8 folds. And sometimes, most of the time, you would have the song lyrics, song title, song lyrics. Other times, you would not. The ones that you would not is the one I'm talking about, because you'd have pictures and other shit. But it was like, where's the... I want to know the lyrics.
Yeah, that was game changing. Cassette tapes had lyrics too, but like before that, you just had to, you know, you just had to hum along, and you know. Anyway, so we get this great Eagles' Greatest Hits, and like. I just remember loving that album. I just remember loving it. My dad was just like, eh, you know what I mean? My dad liked the music too, but it, like, you know, my dad, it's a gift, and my, you know, dad didn't like gifts. So I kind of grew to appreciate the Eagles in like a deep way. And so and of course the Eagles are like, they speak themselves, you know what I mean? Like the band's ridiculous. Well, some of the greatest music ever made in America, like whatever music is. The quibble is whether they're rock and roll or rock or easy listen. You know what I mean? Sure, in this kind of interesting space. But either way, I remember like just like that appreciation that, you know, my dad didn't necessarily give that to me like in a purposeful way, I guess. But I kind of got it in a vicarious way, if I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it was shared, like, in a manner that wasn't
for me to Gabby, forced. I was purposefully exposing her to the music in a way that, like, we're talking about what shows would you... You know what I mean? Like, what music would be another side burst of that conversation? What bands, whatever, do you feel like, you know, your kids need to know? And so on. So, you know, I preface it by saying, Gabby, this is like the, you know, grandpa, Pap and grandpa's like genre, but it like spoke to me too, but you know, so on and so forth. And then, we were talking about the drummer singer, right? Yeah. That's how this conversation got started. And I showed her a video, and she was just like blown away by
him, Don Henley, being a drummer and a singer and
the
lead singer.
Like,
yeah.
It's such a, like, what am I trying to say? Like, just a blind spot, unknown, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just so goes against the grain of everything she knows about how bands are organized.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so she was like, what, the drummer is singing? I'm like, yeah, that's interesting, right? It's like, yeah, the drummers aren't supposed to sing. They're supposed to sit back there.
By the way, I would like that to be the title of this podcast.
What?
What the drummer is singing.
What the drummer is singing? All right. I'll allow it.
Because I don't think we have another one yet, but I like it. What the drummer is singing. Yeah. I got to figure out how to
do. All right, let's see. Let's do
that.
One more thing, and we'll probably wrap it up.
I
want to
go back on the Eagles for a second, though. I want to go with you. I want to go with you on the Eagles for a minute.
Okay,
just
go.
For a second.
Yeah.
So after the story I was telling about the restaurant, whatever, I bought a couple of Eagles' Greatest Hits CDs, too. And the one that as you're telling that story, it popped in my head. I remember a Saturday morning at some point. There was a brief period in time where my folks had Saturdays where if me and Kevin weren't working, it was clean the house day, and everybody was getting up. We would do.
Oh, you're off today? Guess what we're doing?
Yeah, it's family house cleaning day, right? And so what we would try to do was put on some music, because Cindy would tell stories and Nicole tells stories too. Like Nicole's family, the Colonel would always put on Pink Floyd.
Okay.
Cindy's parents would put on others, and they would put on a bunch of just classic rock albums, whatever. So I put on the Eagles, but it was the CD I bought, not the Greatest Hits, but it was the Hell Freezes Over. We're playing
through. This is the Greatest Hits, by the way, but yeah.
It is, but it's just a different version of it, and it's the acoustic one, because it's all live, right? And so we're listening to a couple songs, and then she doesn't really realize how acoustic this version is until we get to Hotel California. And like in the middle of the song, I remember her stopping and asking me, and she said, What version of the song is this, or when did they do this? And I said, this is their most recent album. It's called Hell Freezes Over. When they broke up, and they said they would never get back together, and they got back together, so I guess when Hell Freezes Over, da da da. She's like, I don't know that I've ever heard Hotel California acoustic.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. And it definitely is a different song versus the electric version. Anyways, that's just what popped in my head as we were going through the Eagles' journey there.
Yeah. Man, a lot of those songs really, they were the soundtrack of a certain generation.
Yeah, and an era.
I feel pretty privileged that I was exposed to it in a way. Like I've watched a documentary on them. I feel like I've done a pretty deep dive on that band, and so I just kind of give them the utmost respect and you know, for kind of what they did for music. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Can you name all the members?
No, we can try. Okay, way too deep in the podcast for that. I will say this though, we're getting close to the end. Did you want to have any other? I was going to ask you if you have any other like bands, song, like I don't know. I'm yes. guessing you haven't yeah, had
so,
this.
So okay, here's go. What I say. As you were talking about Gabby with Eagles, right? I feel like one of the things that there's two big wins I'll share here, if you will, with Nicole and I and Elijah raising our sons, right? Gabriel's Superman special. He's my hero. He does what he does. Elijah, though, when it comes to this, what we're talking about, this, there's two things that I think that make us like the all-time winners, greatest ever, and I mean it, goats. First of all, when he was, I don't know, probably five, somewhere between 4 and 6, it wasn't either mom nor I that asked him, and I don't remember which grandma, grandpa, whatever, but somebody asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said, I want to be Batman. First of all, that's the dub right there. You want to be a billionaire, philanthropist guy that beats the shit out of people, vigilante, perfect. Two, during Stranger Things, the last season of Stranger Things, when there's a scene where they're in the Upside Down and Eddie, they have the most metal ever concert, and it starts off, and it's Eddie's playing guitar, and it's Master of Puppets. So as it starts, Elijah's like, Metallica! And I was like, that, right there, that's the win. Now, he did not have the correct song title. However, he knew it was Metallica. That's the win. I just added on the other part. Should have left that off for the ultimate. Yeah, that's okay. So, yes, that's the music. For me, Eagles, a lot of good old classic, but I've done a more recent dive lyrics-wise on a lot of Metallica. Well, a lot of music anyways, but Metallica's for sure. And I would say this, and we can get off music after this. Really, if you've never actually gone and listened and looked and read all the lyrics of Master Puppets, to those of you who have not, do yourself a favor. It's interesting.
All right.
Interesting. And with that,
yeah.
I think we're real close.
Yep. You ready?
Sure.
That's the outro music, by the way. I guess you couldn't tell.
I was certain of that.
This jaunt down memory lane, I think, was quite fun and interesting. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's interesting, you know what I mean? Like, exposing your kids to this stuff or, like, whatever, you know what I mean? It's interesting. I got nothing else to say, my friend.
Sorry, I was responding right now. Marcus had texted me earlier, and he was he said something. He was playing the video game, and I said, hey, we're recording a podcast tonight, and I was responding to his. He's asking, how can I listen to it? So I don't know if you can listen to it tonight, but here's our website. So, okay. Anyways.
I'll cut that part out.
Okay. It's all good. I was about to play Master of Puppets, but we got our outro. Listen, ultimately, let's just say this, man. Life is good. I'm glad we did this tonight, and let's keep rocking and rolling. We got to get to 50 so we can get the Colonel on.
What do we do next time, my friend?
Joshua, same thing we do every podcast.
What's that, buddy?
Try and take over the world.
Boom. Your Highness, Secretary General, Your Majesties, Your Royal Highnesses, Presidents, Prime Ministers, Ministers, ladies and gentlemen.